As the founder and editor-in-chief of WikiLeaks, Julian Assange is admired by some as a freedom of expression activist and criticised by others for endangering lives by releasing sensitive and often secret information to the public domain. Speaking exclusively to the IBA, Assange explains how WikiLeaks operates and defends the decision to leak thousands of Hillary Clinton's emails in the run-up to the US presidential election, which led to Clinton describing him as a tool of Russian intelligence. Assange also discusses the role of state hacking in the political process, the corrosive effects of media reporting, and the breakdown of judicial systems. He begins with the Clinton email leaks.
WikiLeaks is an organisation which is committed to be the most aggressive publisher in the world, the strongest defender of press freedoms. We're not in the business of censoring information. But if we get information about an election, before an election, we will do everything possible to publish it at the moment where the public are most interested in it, which is before an election rather than after. And it would be complete. It would be a betrayal of our role before the public to, you know, suppress information to the benefit of one candidate or another. My position and the position of our staff is that actually this was a rigorous commitment to principle, and that we were entering into a position of danger and significant self-sacrifice by infuriating the person who the opinion polls were saying had a 90 to 98% chance of becoming president. Washington's leaking like a sieve these days, which I'm proud of having contributed to that dynamic.
Hacking in elections is commonplace in the political process, argues Assange.
We published proof showing that the CIA was tasked to hack the French elections, the one before Macron, and in a very invasive way. So that's absolutely normal. Every major political party of a major country has hackers from a variety of countries, and private organisations contracted them, buy them in there. So I think you've got, on the one hand, perhaps some forensic trail showing one state or another state in these organisations. And then on the other hand, you have WikiLeaks publishing things. It's not like if we don't publish something, it disappears. You know, when we publish it, it gets properly assessed and analysed and so on. If we don't publish it, it will appear somewhere else. So it's not like we're actually contributing to a problem. Actually, we're contributing to understanding what the information actually is.
Assange goes on to discuss the need for accurate information for the public and the damaging effects of selective news reporting.
I believe in education, and WikiLeaks and important public records are adult education. It creates a defining environment of what we can, in some sense, agree to be true. And obviously we all have different angles on a particular archive or, you know, public document. But at least we can agree it is a public document. It's true, and WikiLeaks has a pristine record over 11 years of publishing only information that is accurately described. Our civilization can only be as strong. Together as human beings, we can only rise to the height with which the knowledge scaffold that we have can reach. And if this scaffold is actually made out of plasticine, or, you know, supports that seem strong but actually create a picture, then you can't reach very high. And I think we see that all the time. The corrosive effects of selective news reporting, complete fabrications, hype, hysteria. Yeah, I think the press is in general a very toxic instrument and extremely corrosive. And when it does its job right, and it does do its job right sometimes as a result of, you know, a few good journalists, that's a remarkable thing. I would say that something like in the Western, in the big Western countries, something like 2% of journalists are credible, in my view, in terms of accuracy.
Expressing concerns that he may be onward extradited from Sweden to the United States, Assange says that all judicial systems have their breaking point.
Sweden would not guarantee that I would not be onward extradited to the United States. And I had a complete lack of faith in Sweden's ability, of its judicial system's ability, to fairly carry out a hearing in relation to a US extradition. Because there's obviously various hooks that one could use in Swedish law or pull downs from European law to try and resist onward extradition to the United States. And my experience in Sweden and how it was dealing with the other case, not even case, preliminary investigation, I was never even charged, that made me very concerned about its resilience as a judicial system. My philosophical takeaway from that experience and others is every state has a level at which its judicial system breaks down, where the political nature of a case or the opponents of the accused they have a level where they break down. Every country has it. There's no exemption. Every international tribunal, it's the same everywhere. And the only question really is, where is this level, and where are you, as a defendant, on that level?